Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the NAREIT REIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Balson-Keto, and joining me today from REIT World 2019 in Los Angeles is Frank Haggerty Jr. Frank is the portfolio manager for all dedicated global real estate securities managed by Duff & Phelps. Frank, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Sarah.
So looking around the world, which geographic regions do you expect will generate economic growth leadership in 2020?
That's a great question. So when we look, let's start specifically with the U.S. When we're looking at the U.S. today, some of the regions that we're fairly favorable on would be those that are benefiting from the continued growth in technology jobs. So clearly those would be markets in California, the Pacific Northwest, some of the mid-Atlantic states like Washington, D.C., with Amazon making their big announcement to have another headquarters in Virginia. Certain areas of New York, Boston, clearly are benefiting as well from those trends. But overall, I would say we're probably most positive on the Southeast markets. Again, there's some element of the technology job growth phenomenon that we're seeing in other parts of the country. But also what you're seeing is a strong corporate relocation tailwind that's benefiting a number of the Southeast markets. So in particular, a number of corporate relocations that are taking place from the Northeast of the country, markets like New York, New Jersey, and then relocations into markets like Atlanta, Charlotte, some of the Florida cities as well, to take advantage of what is a lower cost environment and in many cases a more tax-friendly environment as well. Is definitely driving demand for all forms of real estate in that region of the country. So that's definitely an area that we're focused on as a firm across real estate property types. If I broaden the scope more globally, clearly within Europe, markets that we've been more positive on have been countries like Ireland and Spain in particular. Ireland, more specifically, the Dublin market. And Spain, you know, really again more focused probably on Madrid and Barcelona is where you're seeing, you know, very strong economic growth in those countries, which is also trickling down and benefiting real estate in those markets.
And turning to U.S. REIT fundamentals, what factors are you watching most closely at this point?
Sure. Not to oversimplify, but clearly we're always looking at, you know, supply-demand dynamic across all real estate property sectors that we're focused on. From a demand point of view, just adding on to the previous question, you know, we're very focused on job growth in particular as being a primary demand driver across the multiple real estate property types. So we continue to be very focused on where we're going to see above average employment growth in different areas of the U.S., but also on a global basis as well. But clearly, given where we're at in the real estate economic cycle, supply is an issue in a number of property types and markets. And so that's something that we're also very focused on as to, you know, what the supply outlook looks like across a number of markets, how competitive that dynamic is, and what type of potential headwind that could be to revenue growth for a number of the companies and property sectors that we're looking at. So that's clearly a factor. Beyond that, you know, a couple of the expense items are things that we're very focused on as well, and that would be wage growth. That clearly is, you know, we're at that point in the cycle where you're seeing pretty healthy wage growth across a number of markets, and that's good, you know, from obviously from an individual perspective to see that level of wage growth, but it also can be a headwind to net operating income growth for the companies. So that's something that we're focused on. And then taxes would be another issue that we're focused on from just a cost perspective. Because again, you know, we've seen a significant appreciation of real estate over the course of the cycle. And we're seeing, you know, taxes go up as a result. And that in many cases has been a bit of a headwind to net operating income growth at this point in the cycle. So that's another aspect of fundamentals that we're focused on in the near term.
And what are you anticipating on the M&A and IPO front next year?
Yeah, so as it relates to M&A and IPOs, you know, I think it remains selective in both cases. You know, we would expect to see a continuation of M&A activity, but very select. You know, it's been more over the last couple of years, in particular, strategic-oriented M&A. So more public-to-public type M&A across, particularly within the U.S. And not what we've seen, you know, maybe in years past where you've seen more privatization activity at different points in the cycle. I think the industry is well aware of the significant amount of private equity capital that has been raised but not fully committed that could lead to further M&A activity, some privatization activity, whether it's in the U.S. or on a global basis. But more realistically, I think what we'll continue to see is selective strategic M&A between public companies, like we've seen, you know, again this year, just more as recently as the Prologis Liberty deal announcement, and even recently the Digital Realty Interaction announcement, where you're seeing public to public M&A companies, you know, rounding out their strategic footprint and layering in, you know, assets that make sense to their overall business that could, you know, potentially help enhance their growth profile going forward. And then on the IPO front, I would say, you know, very similar in the sense that we will see IPO activity, but it'll probably be fairly limited by market. We will see a handful of probably deals coming out, particularly if valuations stay at their current level. We've seen nice appreciation and equity prices for real estate both in the U.S. and globally this year. That typically leads to a supportive environment for new deal activity. So we definitely expect to see some activity over the next 12 months, but wouldn't expect a watershed of, you know, IPO activity to be happening.
And are there value opportunities within the REIT sector?
Potentially. There's potentially some, you know, value opportunity. I would say, we, as I just mentioned, there's been a nice appreciation in the equity values of companies both in the U.S. and in many markets on a global basis, this year in particular. But there have been some property sectors, if you look specifically within the U.S., areas of the market like lodging, regional malls, would be two areas that have underperformed over the last 12 months and over a bit longer period of time as well, that you could point to as potentially offering some value, at least relative to their historical valuations. You could also lump in some aspects of the office market within the U.S., particularly some of the New York-focused-centric companies. You could point to as, you know, continuing to trade at a healthy discount to net asset value. So that could potentially be another area of value. But for us, and the way we look at it, is it's you have to be very careful in those situations that there truly is value and it's not a value trap. So just because it looks cheap relative to where it has traded historically doesn't per se mean that it's a good value. So we want to stay, you know, very much on top of the fundamental trends for those particular areas of the market, and make sure we have an identifiable catalyst to truly say that there is a value opportunity there. So it's something that we, you know, closely watch, and we'll continue to see how it evolves over the next 12 months. But those are some areas of the market that could potentially be offering value in the year ahead.
And what about those property sectors that really led the market this year? Do you think those trends will continue?
Yeah, clearly I think there's some good momentum to those businesses. So when you look at just on a year-to-date basis, you see areas of the market like manufactured housing, industrial, data centers, single-family rental, all those property sectors doing well on a year-to-date basis in 2019. In many cases, I think there's a good, strong, secular growth story to those businesses that will definitely give them momentum as we move forward into 2020. So there's definitely a good, strong fundamental argument to say why, you know, those areas of the market should continue to work. At the same time, you know, that's somewhat recognized by the market because you've seen very solid appreciation in the stock prices of most of those companies in the last 12 months at least. But yeah, I would say the businesses that have good, strong secular growth stories will probably continue to show good momentum going into 2020. But not necessarily show the same level of appreciation of their equity prices as they did in 2019.
And how would you describe the level of capital looking to invest in the REIT sector?
I would say, it remains mixed. I think investors truly, whether it's a retail investor or an institutional investor, really appreciate the positive attributes of real estate in the publicly traded markets in particular. They've clearly, in the last 12 months, you've seen how lower correlation benefits that are available in real estate were different quarters over the last 12 months, where real estate really proved its mettle in what has been different volatile markets. You could look at the fourth quarter of last year, the first quarter of this year, where real estate on a relative basis performed very strongly relative to broader equities. Real estate this year continues to lead the markets from an equity price perspective. So I definitely think that's well appreciated. And so you're seeing some capital continue to want to come to the sector because of that lower correlation benefit, and also just the very stable growth environment from the underlying cash flows and from the dividends themselves. We still remain in a fairly low interest rate environment in many places around the world. And so the additional yield on offer from the publicly traded real estate companies is definitely another attractive benefit. So I would still say that there is capital coming into the sector, but how much and from which different channel, it's going to remain mixed.
And are there any other trends or developments that could be interesting to watch in 2020?
Sure, there's a number of different trends and developments that we're focused on, whether it be more recently with the phenomenon around co-working and WeWork and the impact that might have in certain office markets within the U.S. That's definitely something because of the impact they've had in a number of the urban office markets, both in the U.S. and globally. That's something that we're going to watch very carefully to see how that dynamic plays out. They were at the margin a large absorber of office space in many key office markets around the world. And in this current environment, it will be interesting to see what impact that has going forward to the degree that they slow down their capital expenditure, their business model. That's something definitely we've got to stay on top of. There's a number of different things taking place on the legislative front, particularly around in the housing sector, apartments in particular, as it relates to rental regulation. And how that's evolving is something to stay very much on top of in the year ahead. And then I would also say, particularly in the U.S., we continue to remain very focused on a number of ESG-oriented topics. I think U.S. companies in particular are beginning to appreciate investors' interest in hearing more about their ESG efforts, where they're focusing their capital and where they potentially could get the best return on the dollars that they're spending across those three different areas is going to remain important and something that we'll continue to have good dialogue with the companies that we talk to.
Great. Frank, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me, Sarah. I appreciate it.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed today's podcast, please subscribe or leave a review on iTunes. And for more information on REITs, be sure to visit NAREIT's website, REIT.com.